Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the second reading from this weekend's readings, we hear the beginning of St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now, scripture scholars would argue that this is one of Paul's, if not his greatest, theological works. It contains great theological doctrines about Jesus Christ as the Son of God, about the Holy Trinity. It contains ecclesiology about the structure of the church, as well as an in-depth focus on sacramental theology, specifically as it pertains to baptism and the Eucharist. More to it, in 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul reveals a very personal side to him that we don't see in many of his other epistles. Now, it's important for us, therefore, to really relish this time in which we now are exposed to 1 and 2 Corinthians. What I want to do today is highlight Paul's first letter of Corinthians. Why? Because our church deems it incredibly important. So important that for the next 2 months, we are going to read week after week after week from 1 and 2 Corinthians. If the church wants to set aside 2 months out of the year for us to hear and learn from Paul's first and second letter to the Corinthians, then it must be incredibly important for us also to listen and learn from the great spiritual master of St. Paul. Now, as I always have told you, in order for us to properly understand sacred scripture, we have to learn the context in which it is set in. Who is St. Paul? Well, after Jesus Christ, St. Paul is the single most influential person in all of Christianity. Now, we all know of St. Paul's great conversion on the road to Damascus, but do we really know who he was before that event? It's important for us to truly know that, know these things prior to Paul's conversion, because a lot of those things helped to influence him as an apostle. Paul's original name was Saul. He was born in Tarsus, a city on the southern coast of present-day Turkey. Paul was born as a Jew and as a Roman citizen. He was a student of Greek philosophy and literature, and he was a student of oration or oratory, being able to speak and debate openly. Now, these combinations of being a Jew, Roman citizen, and knowing Greek philosophy and being able to debate were extremely important in him evangelizing across cross-cultural boundaries. In fact, Paul would use gifts that God has given him to evangelize two continents, Asia and Europe. At a very early age, it was discovered that Paul was an incredibly intelligent child. And therefore, he was sent to Jerusalem, and he studied under Gamaliel, one of the leading rabbis of the time. Good analogy for us would be like a newly ordained priest sent to Rome for advanced studies under some of the most influential theologians in all of the Vatican. Well, under the rabbi Gamaliel, Saul studied the law, prophets, tradition, and as he advanced in age, Saul became a very zealous defender of Jerusalem. And so it begs the question, what would have bothered a zealous Jew during the time of Saul? Well, Christianity would. The new movement, the story of the crucified man put to death on a cross, and now his followers have claimed him to be the long-awaited Messiah. Saul would find this utterly ridiculous. More to it, Saul would see Christianity as a threat to Judaism, and he would take it upon himself to exterminate this movement. And he did just that. We find Saul coming onto the scene in Acts of the Apostles. First, we see Saul at the stoning of St. Stephen. The men that grab rocks to stone St. Stephen, they leave their cloaks, it says, at the feet of Saul, as if Saul himself was presiding at the stoning of St. Stephen. Next, in chapter 9, it's documented that Saul was dragging Christians out of their homes in Jerusalem and taking them to jail in chains. And then in chapter 11, it said Saul still breathing murderous threats against the Christians in Jerusalem. Saul took this very seriously. He was confident that what he was doing was right. Exterminating Christianity was protecting Judaism. And therefore, Paul thought he was just being a good Jew. Paul was persecuting the church. In fact, Paul was a very serious enemy of our church, and he persecuted the church with full religious sanction by the leadership of the Jewish faith in Jerusalem. Well, one day, Saul is sanctioned or ordered by the Jewish authority to go to a small city called Damascus. Word has it that a small Christian community is starting up there. Saul's orders: to nip it in the bud, to stamp it out, destroy it, even exterminate this movement, because it's a threat to Judaism. And so we all know what happens next. As Saul is traveling down the road that leads to Damascus, he's knocked down from his horse by God. He hears a voice that he never heard before. The last person that Paul expected to encounter, Jesus Christ, well, now he encounters our Lord. And Jesus identifies himself as the church, as he says to Saul, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" In this encounter, Paul is blinded. Now, this is very interesting for us to note. Paul, prior to being knocked down by our Lord from his horse, he sees everything clearly. He sees what he's doing is right and just by persecuting the church. And yet now he is knocked from his horse and he is blinded. Now his whole world is turned upside down. The very person and church that Saul was persecuting has now spoken to him. And now Saul is going to learn God's will for him. With that in mind, let us go into the second reading. As it begins, "Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God." Now, Paul tells us from the very first sentence of this first letter to the Corinthians that his evangelical mission as an apostle was God's initiative and not his own. Paul didn't wake up one day and say to himself or to others, "You know, I'm just going to join that Christian movement. More to it, I'm going to be a leader of that church." Paul tells us from the very beginning that it was God's will that made Paul an apostle. Paul was called by God. Take it a step further. Paul now is teaching us a great spiritual lesson, and that is, your life is not about you. Your life is not about your satisfaction, your wants, your desires, your ego, your joys. Instead, your life is about you in relationship with Christ and your faith in Christ. And see, from that relationship with Jesus blossoms your peace, joy, fulfillment, and happiness in life. Our life is all about our relationship with God and how we live it out to the best of our abilities. More to it, it is in following God's will that we find our deepest identity. Now notice again, Paul says, "Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus." Paul is telling us that he's been seized by God. And therefore, he defines his identity, who he is, according to God's will. So too with us. The moment of our baptism, we were seized by God, like Paul. And now we identify ourselves according to God's will. Therefore, we, like Paul, must surrender ourselves to the higher will of the Lord. And see, it's in that very act of surrendering to the Lord that we find peace in our life. And yet, what's the temptation? Modernity. Modernity that started with the Enlightenment several centuries ago. Philosophers like Nietzsche, his philosophy was so contrary to St. Paul and Christianity. Nietzsche's philosophy was one in which only the individual, following their own will, could achieve true power. And so he would proclaim, follow your ego, your joys, your satisfaction, your wants and desires, and when you do that, then you have true power. St. Paul would say, that's not what I'm about, nor what Christianity is all about. Instead, our power, our true identity, comes from aligning our will with the will of God. See, that's why Paul, after his conversion, he changed his name from Saul to Paul. Paul was no longer that person named Saul. He was no longer persecuting the church. In fact, he changed his name to Paul because he recognized his new identity, which was founded and embedded in the will of God. Again, that's why he says, Paul called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. That's how Paul identifies himself now. Now, with that in mind, go to the first reading from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah tells us the exact same message. He writes, "The Lord said to me, 'You are my servant, Israel, through whom I show my glory. Now the Lord has spoken, who formed me as a servant from the womb.'" Isaiah is giving us the same message as St. Paul. At the moment of our baptism, we have all become servants of the Lord, and therefore we identify ourselves in who we are according to God's will. I'll leave you with just one last thought. Paul says that he is called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. The word apostle comes from the Greek word apostolos, which means to send. Paul is sent by God. Do you ever wonder why we call the post office the post office? Because we borrowed that term, apostolos. The post office is the sending office. Post is from that Greek word. Think about that the next time you go and mail a letter. You are going to the sending office. And see, Paul is not sending himself as an apostle. He is one that is being sent by God. Paul is not setting his own path into this world. Instead, it's a path that has already been set by him, by the Lord. Paul has been chosen, called, and sent. So to us. We have been chosen, called, and now sent into the world. Sent into the world to do God's will, regardless of what our occupation is. Whether we are a teacher, a doctor, nurse, plumber, electrician, construction worker, police officer, whatever our occupation is, it is precisely in living out God's will that we find our deepest identity. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.